Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars. Let us know.
Oh, for sure, five.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found.
So this week we went to this nutrition store, all vegan.
In Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah.
All vegan. They had everything you could want and more.
It was like a candy store for me. You know,
You couldn't figure out what to choose. You have to go back multiple times.
We have to, yeah. And then there was this bakery next to it, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now we have the manager here, right?
Yeah, Shauna. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very good.
Yeah.
Great.
I know you had a busy week, right, with the Veg Expo and everything, right? There's so much going on in Vancouver.
But yeah, it was amazing. 20,000 people.
Wow. Is that how much they said that was at the Veg Expo?
Yeah.
Holy. That's like a small city.
Yeah, totally. It's just great to see the interest in plant-based and vegan diets like grow so much.
Yeah, right? Did you have a lot of non-vegetarian people even coming to your booth at the Veg Expo?
I think so. I think it was like a good mix. Lots of vegans and then just people who are interested in learning more about it, for sure.
Right, that's awesome. Well, tell the listeners, please, more about yourself and about your first vegan store in Vancouver, which is super exciting.
Great, yeah, we're super excited about it. So I am a nutritionist, and so I do like one-on-one coaching with people. Most of my clients are interested in eating more plant-based, or becoming vegan, or they've been vegan for a while and they just feel like something is off. Like maybe they feel like they're missing something, or they're not doing it properly, or they want to learn like how to maximize their health and, you know, have amazing energy levels. So along with specializing in plant-based and vegan diets, I also do a lot of work around like digestion and stress, so adrenal health as well.
Nice.
And just sort of, it's a holistic view of the body. And so we know like everything is connected. So just looking at how to best support that individual.
Right. Which is really nice, right? In your job, you have like individual people. Everyone has different needs, you know. I can imagine that's a great job to have. It's not like robotic, you know.
And not every human is the same, right?
Yeah.
So what works for one might not work for others, so you have to really, you know, try different things out.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that with a vegan or like, let's say, plant-based lifestyle, do you think it doesn't work for everyone? Some people are just not meant to, like in your experience, like with the people you had, like your clientele?
No, I think everyone can do it and thrive and like be super healthy, but there's definitely like variations and different like considerations to take into account for each person. And, you know, a lot of that like comes down to the health of our microbiome. So the mix of gut bacteria, that has a huge role in like how we metabolize vitamins and nutrients and our hormone system. It's just everything is sort of can be connected to the health of our gut microbiome, and then like our adrenals, our stress, like how well we sleep, if we exercise or not.
Right.
So I do feel like everyone can be fully plant-based or vegan, but there's just like little tweaking here and there to make the most of it.
Makes
for
sense.
Each person.
Yeah, and of course there's always going to be that really rare, you know, exception of something, or, you know,
Allergic to something,
yeah. And it has to, I mean, but yeah, we're talking on the majority of people, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, so tell the listeners more about how you got started doing the first vegan supplement store.
Yeah. So I started working at the store about 3 years ago, and I just slowly started bringing in all of the products that I personally use or use with my clients. And then I just like sort of made the decision, like I didn't open the store. So there was like, this was about 3 or 4 years ago now, there was like fish oils there and whey protein powder. And I just wasn't crazy about that. It never felt good having
I've taken
that stuff
both,
in the store.
And I've never felt good taking both.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we just changed everything over to be completely vegan. So it was, you know, a lot of like calling up companies to find out, you know, if the L-leucine in their BCAA blend was from chicken feathers or from a plant source, you know, getting rid of the gelatin caps, making sure there was no bee products in anything. Mm-hmm. But it was like a pretty easy switch. Because there's tons of amazing, like, fully vegan products out there, and some that are even, like, accidentally vegan. Like, a lot of stuff is just, like, vegan already. So, yeah, it's just, it's nice because I wanted to have a place where people, you know, whether they're vegan or not, but especially for the vegans to come in and not have to, you know, worry about reading labels.
Yeah, totally. Right.
And that's picking amazing. Up everything, you know, looking at all the ingredients.
Yeah, that's why when people label things with like the vegan label, like they have vegan certified, I'm like, okay, I don't even have to read the ingredients. Hopefully I don't have to read the ingredients.
Yeah, totally.
So it makes it easier. And yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
It does, exactly.
Yeah, and we have so many like local producers here in Vancouver that are making just like amazing vegan products. Mm-hmm. So I like to bring in as many locally produced health products like
It's booming right now.
Vancouver's got a lot of vegan supplement, like the market for vegan supplements here just coming out left, right, and center from companies.
I saw that at the Veg Expo too.
Yeah.
Like there were quite a lot. And actually, the bars, I saw a lot of products you had, right? You even got from the Veg Expo, I guess. And then they're from Vancouver too, which is nice to see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep it local.
So was your store always called Quest, like even before it turned fully plant-based?
Yeah. Yeah. The name has always been the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. So going back to you personally, what made you become plant-based?
Well, I had never really thought about it as a child, even though I was an animal lover, I think as most children are.
Right.
And then when I was 10 years old, I was at a neighbor's house for dinner and they ordered pizza. Most of the pizzas like had meat on them, but one was vegetarian, and I just had like this light bulb moment, and I was like, oh, like I don't have to eat animals. This is amazing. So I just decided right then and there, to become vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
This was 25 years ago. So like the word vegan wasn't really around. Like I had never heard the word vegan at that point. So I was, vegetarian first for, just over 5 years.
Yeah.
In that time I did, you know, I cut out milk, like probably right away, a couple of years into it. And then sort of like slowly, cut out other things. And then it was my first year of university that, you know, I started learning more about the environmental effects of raising animals for food, and just sort of tapping into my own, like, intuition and my body, and decided to, like, fully cut out all animal products.
That's great.
So that was awesome. About almost 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I've been fully vegan ever since. And, yeah, it was definitely a journey. Like, when I first went vegetarian, I was, like, a junk food vegetarian, like basically living off of like you know, canned soups and cheese and crackers and like
pastas. And,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you at that time? Like in Victoria or Vancouver?
I was in Victoria.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your family is from Victoria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so did they eat a lot of meat, like in your household when you grew up as a child? And
yeah, I'd say it was like an average sort of diet that they were eating. My mom, having grown up on a farm, did sort of you know, make a lot of stuff from scratch. So she would make like split pea soups that were vegetarian and chilies, and like we did have lots of beans and like, you know, a lot of homemade baking and stuff.
Sorry, were they very open about you becoming plant-based?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too.
Yeah, because not everyone has an easy, you know, family transition with that, right?
Yeah, they were both very supportive.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
They pretty much were like, yeah, we want to support you in doing this. It was my grandparents, on the other hand, that were quite concerned, like my grandpa especially.
Where are you going to get your protein and your iron?
You can't live like this.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
That's why I became a nutritionist, because I was like, okay, I need to be able to answer these questions.
Right.
Great answer. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you usually eat, like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I'm curious, as a nutritionist, you know, you always watch what you're eating, I bet, and like you just want to keep it healthy, right? And not like as you used to eat, like all the junk food.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, during the whole like journey and transitioning and everything, I definitely started eating more whole foods, and just like started feeling like so much better health-wise.
Right.
Like I never had really like any chronic health issues, but like, you know, mild digestion stuff and maybe a bit of like hormone imbalances, allergies. So it was like minor stuff that I just thought was like normal. It wasn't until like I started eating healthier and those things kind of went away that I was like, oh, this is how the body is like can feel.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I am a huge fan of having like green smoothies every day. Just because I find it's like an easy way to get in a lot of like fresh leafy greens.
Right.
So like having a green smoothie in the morning.
Like what do you put in usually? What's your favorite smoothie?
Yeah. It's like always different. And I've been, you know, it's gone through periods of like having them like quite sweet, from like pineapple and mango and bananas. But I think as your taste buds change, like I started adding more like cucumber, or even like some zucchini and more greens and like lots of ginger, especially in the winter time here in Vancouver.
Right.
I don't do like frozen stuff, 'cause for me, that's just like too cold for my digestive system.
Okay.
So like if I buy frozen berries, I'll defrost them in the fridge first and then put them in. Usually just like water as the base, but sometimes I'll put in like a nut and or seed butter, so like a pumpkin seed butter or something. I've been really into the Yagu yogurt, which is like a local like made from fresh coconut meat and water.
Is that the one we had at that dinner that like tingled my tongue?
I didn't even see it at your store this time. I was actually had it in my mind. I wanted to get some.
It sells out like really quickly.
We didn't restock.
Give us a call next time.
Yeah, totally.
That stuff was so potent. Like I could feel it tingling my tongue, like
it
full
was,
of live bacteria. Yeah.
It's quite like powerful. One tablespoon has 3 billion live probiotic cultures.
That's
and I just find it so much more enjoyable than swallowing a probiotic capsule.
Oh, for sure.
So I've been like big into putting a tablespoon of that into my smoothies.
Right, that's great.
Yeah, and
do they get damaged if you put them into like a high speed blender or
no?
No,
no.
Okay,
no,
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask. I don't know.
Yeah, No, it's so microscopic. Those like bacteria, that's not like you're dividing the cells.
Okay.
That's great.
All right.
Yeah. Vitamix is destroying your probiotics.
Yeah. I think they're okay in there for sure.
Right.
Okay.
That's great. I noticed too with the frozen fruits, like I like to use, because we have them in our freezer that we use for our smoothies, but we use hot water, even like a tea base, you know, like a reishi or a shaga tea.
Yeah.
I like to blend that sometimes because in the wintertime, we just sometimes don't get enough berries, right?
So,
And when they're frozen, they're supposed to have even more nutrients because they're not sitting around, right? So they're actually like picked and then frozen right away, flash frozen. We're hoping that it is. And it's a convenience thing too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to keep a bunch of berries in your fridge, or you're going to go bad. Unfortunately.
Yeah, no, yeah. I am a huge fan of like the frozen berries, because you're right, like when they're frozen in season, then you retain more of the nutrition than, you know, buying ones that are out of season and shipped from far away.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But yeah, I love the idea of what you guys are doing with blending with the hot water. So that's another way to go about it. You can either like defrost it overnight or blend it with hot water.
Totally. Yeah. And what's your lunch? Like your favorite lunch?
So lunch or dinner is like a big salad bowl. And I like adding, you know, like sauerkraut, maybe some tempeh or black beans or chickpeas, a mix of nuts and seeds and other veggies. I really like making like a tahini based dressing.
Yummy. Love tahini.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I also really like soups, raw in the Vitamix or cooked,
right.
I'm feeling like.
Are you raw vegan or you eat whole foods, plant based?
I eat everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just not the junky kind
just
anymore.
Not maybe once in a while.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
You just don't want to eat that as your primary food source.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you'd probably be fine. Are you a believer in food combining? As another quick question to ask.
I think everyone responds differently to that. Mm-hmm. I won't really have a fruit snack right after a main meal. Like I do get some bloating after.
Same
so I'll
here.
Have fruit first.
I definitely feel totally. That. And the funny thing is, in my Italian family,
always
makes
too.
This big dinner. Oh. And then like
melons.
And then right after they're cutting up
melons,
cantaloupe,
that's the worst.
Yeah, honeydew, watermelon,
oh, no worries.
And I'm like, whoa,
have
I can't
first.
Eat this after.
I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But always, every time, right?
Always.
It's like a tradition to do that. Huh. And I don't know why they choose to do melons after a big meal, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, this is where really, you know, like tapping into your own body is really helpful. Because like, I know some people that can have fruit with other foods and not have any like digestive issues after.
Totally.
I just feel the fermentation, you know, it's
like
a heavy meal takes so much longer to digest than the fruit that's on top of your meal and the digestive system,
exactly.
Right? So that's, I can just feel it, you know, and I know it's not placebo.
Sometimes
I still try it, you know, like, okay, let's have a pineapple. At least it's high in enzymes, you know, but still it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does health mean to you, being in like the health field and, you know, getting people on the right path? Is it, you know, feeling good? Is it like, what would you say is it to you?
To me, I think the biggest thing is, you know, having the energy and mental clarity, and just sort of vibrancy for life, and to be able to like do what you're passionate about, to do what you love. Mm-hmm. Every single day, because your body feels good, your mind feels good, your emotions are stable, and you have sort of like the inspiration and passion for just doing what you love. So
that's a good answer.
That's, I love that.
It's you know, yeah, being able to get along with your day without having to, you know, chug the coffee and, and you know, getting proper sleep and, you know.
Right. It's a balance of so many things. I call it usually it's like a piece of cake, everything in life. And then you put this beautiful cake together and, you know, that's like.
Yeah, it's a big piece of a puzzle. I mean, you got to have, you know, nutrition. Then you also got to have maybe, you know, some type of cardio or fitness to get your heart going. And
your
stuff
mindset,
like this,
right?
And
how you see life.
And then there's sleep involved. And then there's, you know, you got to put it all together.
It's
and,
everything. Yeah.
And build the puzzle of health.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like nutrition is such an important foundation because we're even now discovering, like going back to the gut microbiome again, I'm probably going to bring it up a lot.
That's a big importance.
It is.
Yeah. But with our moods and emotions and mental state, because it's responsible for like making different neurotransmitters. So the gut brain connection is very real. It goes both ways. So if you're like stressed and always in fight or flight mode, then your microbiome balance suffers. And then if you're eating a diet that doesn't support a healthy microbiome and that gets out of balance, then your mental health suffers. So it goes definitely both ways. But I just think it's like such a foundation and building all of our cells with like the healthiest possible building blocks, I think sets us up for balanced health in like all other areas of our lives.
Totally. It's like our second brain, right? Our gut flora.
Sure.
It's almost like our first brain, I heard, even now, because it's so, like, it really depends so much on our well-being in general,
right? Well, that's the first defense the body has. When you put something in the body, the first thing it's going to go through is there before it even gets to your brain or turns to glucose and goes to your brain as fuel, right? So
Exactly.
And everything's absorbed through, you know, in the stomach and through the gut flora and everything. So yeah, you got to make sure that you have a good ecosystem in there.
Yeah, exactly.
To, you know, absorb these proper nutrients to feed your brain and your muscles and your organs, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
So I have a quick question about the probiotics, like that don't have to be stored in the fridge.
Yeah, it's been scratching our head for a while.
Yeah, like I'm looking online and searching for stuff, but I don't know. I don't really get the proper answer. So what's your point of view here, like about the probiotics that are like in mueslis and
like
stuff?
The ones that are in like the dried packages, are they as potent as, say, you know, that coconut or something that's been in the fridge? That because I thought probiotics were supposed to be in the fridge to preserve them.
Yeah, to keep them alive, right?
So it depends on the strain. Some strains are more tolerable to room temperatures.
Okay.
And then it also depends on the encapsulation process. So like I've worked in vitamin stores on and off for over 10 years, and a lot of the higher end probiotics 10 years ago were the refrigerated ones.
Right.
Now we're seeing that's not always the case. It depends on like so many other factors. So the ones that are a capsule. So, I mean, the yogurt that I mentioned is amazing because it's like a fresh form.
Right.
So you definitely like it's hard to beat fresh.
Yeah, you know it's a good potent. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But if you need sort of like a higher, like more therapeutic dose, there are some high-end brands that are shelf stable, and the probiotics themselves are micro encapsulated. They're the shelf stable strains, so these are strains that are still viable at room temperature, and they get delivered to the large intestine to where they're supposed to go, and then they help repopulate our gut microbiome. So it's hard to, you can't just say like, oh, all refrigerated ones are the best
or better.
There's so many other factors, and then like how they combine different strains. So some will complement each other. If it's just like randomly thrown together strains, some of them will like outcompete others. So yeah, with probiotics, it's really, there's like so many factors.
There's a science. There's a science behind it, how to get it into your body to make it work the way it wants to. Yeah.
And then just, you know, if you are going for a capsule one, make sure it's one that, if you're vegan, that it's not grown on dairy.
Right.
So, yeah, I carry just like the vegan line of the probiotic.
Right. Yeah, there are some, right, that are not too clear because there's not a vegan label on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some, I'm like, hey, is it vegan now or not, you know?
Yeah, it's some of them, it's hard because it, some will say like vegetarian,
right?
Yeah, but not that's vegan. That's the weird one. Yeah,
yeah.
And then you're like, is this vegan? Is it not? And then you're like, it could be. They just could maybe didn't want to pay to get it certified vegan. It's like a whole science.
But it's still confusing because label vegetarian science. Can be just like it can be still dairy, right?
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But I've seen some that say like vegetarian and dairy free. But so it's like,
was there eggs in it? Or
I don't know. Yeah.
Because like Udos, I think they're a bit confusing sometimes, you know, the probiotics. They write like vegetarian on it, you know? That's where I saw it.
Yeah. Well, even like the Sisu, like the B vitamins, like say vegetarian capsules versus like a vegan one. But then you're right. It says no dairy, eggs or whatever. And I'm like, well, why couldn't they call this a vegan capsule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The supplements can be a little tricky to decipher sometimes.
Be informed and write them emails if you're not sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's the best way to go about it if you're super curious.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about balancing your hormones before, and can you explain more what's the best way to actually
just briefly
because
there's so many different ways I think to balance your hormones, but just maybe some tips to help people. Yeah,
for sure. So the gut microbiome so that is it plays a role in how we recycle and metabolize and sort of deactivate harmful estrogens in the body. So definitely supporting the gut, supporting the liver, decreasing inflammation, sleep, exercise, super important, making sure your vitamin D levels are not deficient, stress management, blood sugar balance. There's some interesting research that I've come across recently. So there's like a prebiotic fiber in nori seaweed, and they were showing that it was like reducing breast cancer risk, but they weren't really sure the mechanism, and it turns out it was because of the prebiotics supporting the health of specific bacteria in the gut microbiome. And that had a role in decreasing breast cancer risk. And then the isoflavones in soy. So there is like a range of benefits that we've seen in the research in terms of hormone benefits. And it turns out it depends, like the benefits that the person gets from the soy isoflavones depends on the specific strains of gut bacteria they have. So more benefits are seen in people that have a strain that can convert the isoflavone to a compound called EQUAL. So you're either an EQUAL producer or a non-producer. And so if you're an EQUAL producer, you're going to have more benefits from isoflavones.
Cool.
And vegetarians are 4 times more likely to be EQUAL producers than non-vegetarians. So I think that really speaks to the benefits of like having a diversity of plant fiber in the diet, because it's those fibers that are the food for the good bacteria in our gut. I think, just having a huge diversity of plant foods is a really great way to support our hormones, and then taking into account sort of what your exposure is to environmental chemicals. So there's chemicals called endocrine disruptors. They're in pesticides, plastics, personal care products, household cleaning products. There's a documentary called The Disappearing Male. If you Google that, I think you can watch it online somewhere. And it's all about sort of the estrogen mimicking chemicals that are in our environment. So, a lot can be done.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Yeah. That's our Saturday night right there.
And then, you know, I think we do have an advantage, sort of the more plant foods we eat. So not only from those specific fibers, but because meat and dairy have like estradiol, which is a more potent form of estrogen. It's not even like added to the animals. Like there are some sort of growth hormones, like in the States, I think, that can be added to the farm animals or the dairy producing cows. But those aren't allowed in Canada.
Right.
So it's not even, so this estradiol is present regardless of like the animal receiving a growth hormone injection.
Right. Because most of them are like female animals that we're ingesting. So obviously they're high in estrogen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But some people will maybe now say, okay, then I just eat the male animals. Because actually I was at a mushroom retreat and I tell you there were these guys. I don't know if I should mention the name.
I will tell you
when I meet you in person again.
Sure.
But this guy was like saying, yeah, you got to eat just like male meat. You know, that's where you become very manly, you know, and he had a lot of anger in him. You could tell, you know, because of all the testosterone.
The hormone imbalance, you mean.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a thing too, right? Then some people might eat a lot of like the male meat, but that's not a solution either, right?
There's still going to be like both hormones in there. And then the other thing with like the animal products is because of those environmental estrogens, they're fat soluble. So they actually like bioaccumulate in meat and fish and dairy. So you're getting a dose of those as well. I just came across a study of fish intake and decreased testosterone levels in men. And that was because of the endocrine disruptors that were in the ocean that accumulate in the fish.
Oh, I bet.
So yeah, there's just so much to into account.
Let's just simplify our like what we eat, you
and
know, and
yes.
That's a plant-based lifestyle. It's just so simple, you know, and you can pick an apple from the tree or, you know, go for blueberry picking. It's just so much easier and it's fun, you know. No one has to like suffer here or scream to death and bleed, you know. We just it's so much more beautiful to be in nature. You're happy and you can eat what nature gives us, you know,
And
be
and just
that
the variety. Like, I'm never bored of what I eat.
You learn new stuff, like new type of like. I never even knew what bulgur was till a couple years ago. Like, that's a cool grain, or you know, like a couscous, or any of those very like kind of like
amaranth,
you know? Buckwheat. Like, whoa. New terminology for me.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like you're missing out if you just like if you're a meat eater, you know, like there's so much more you can do and eat and have fun with.
Totally.
Is there anything you like to mention we didn't mention to our audience today?
Yeah.
I think just, you know, if you're not vegan yet, just start, like, don't think of it as like, oh, I have to cut all this stuff out and, you know, I have to do it all at once. I'm more like to support people in thinking about it as like, oh, look at all of this amazing new food I get to add into my diet.
Right.
And
I like that.
Like, eventually that crowds out all the other stuff. Like, if you're replacing your breakfast with a huge smoothie or like some overnight oats or chia pudding or something, that's going to replace the other things that you used to have for breakfast. So just the mindset around like getting away from thinking that you're depriving yourself. And oh my God, there's no better time to try out plant-based and be vegan right now.
Yeah.
We just have unlimited options. And I do a lot of like traveling too. And even when I travel, I find it so incredibly easy to be vegan, like from the Philippines to Mexico to like, you know, really remote places. I've never had an issue.
That's great. So even in the countryside, you find you have variety, right? And you enjoy still the food you like to eat. That's great.
Yeah,
totally. I'm like that too. Like I travel a lot around the world, and it's just also about being creative and not having this mindset, oh, I don't know if I'm going to find something I can eat.
I think I've always found something, no matter what. Even though I think there's not something there, I can always get someone or like a restaurant to create a vegan dish, even though they
totally
can't.
Right.
Yeah. Even if it's just like from the sides menu, like if you're at a restaurant and you don't see something, like look at the sides. Like the other day I had just like guacamole and like a cabbage salad and beans from the sides menu.
It works,
you just gotta be creative and
totally
and know what you're looking for.
Totally.
And you know, if you're like I mentioned at the beginning, if you've tried it and you feel like something is off balance, please like see someone that specializes in plant-based nutrition. Because a lot of times, well, a lot of my clients actually who come to me, they're coming to me because they went to another nutritionist or a naturopath that was trying to get them to incorporate like bone broth or eggs or different stuff like that. And that can just be really devastating and you feel discouraged and you start second guessing yourself.
Totally.
So just don't give up and look for like second opinions and find out what they're actually what they mean behind those recommendations. Like if it's because you're supposed to have more glutamine from the bone broth and the other amino acids, look at what food sources, what plant food sources are high in those amino acids, or take like an L-glutamine fermented powder for a little while to support like gut healing.
Sure.
So there's always alternatives, I feel like. And obviously like, just listening to your body, everyone's on their own journey. But if you do want to stick to being plant-based or vegan, and you're being told to do otherwise, just try to seek out more information.
Is a blood test good to do? You know, if you want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How is it when you take it, say, a B complex, and then before your blood test, does it interfere your blood test?
It shouldn't. It's more of like your long-term standing of like where your B vitamin and iron levels are at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One thing about a blood test I'll mention with B12 is that won't paint a big enough picture of your B12 status if you just get a B12 serum test. Especially if you're eating sort of algaes or seaweeds, because those have B12 mimickers in them. They're called B12 analogs, and they can show up on a blood test as B12, but it's not actual B12. Mm-hmm. So I usually recommend getting your homocysteine level checked as well. So if homocysteine is slightly elevated, then your B12 or folic acid or both could be low.
Okay.
So yeah, just get your B12 and homocysteine levels checked. You can get something called an MMA level tested as well, but I think that has to come from like an endocrinologist. So usually homocysteine, you can just ask your regular doctor for.
Okay, that's great.
That's good to know. I got to get my blood test done soon.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how can the listeners find you, and, you know, where's your great store that they can come and buy their amazing vegan
goodies.
Products from?
Yeah. So Quest Nutrition is on East Hastings Street, just between Commercial and Nanaimo, so in the Hastings Sunrise area. On Instagram, you can find me as Synergy_Nutrition. My website is synergynutrition.ca. So I have a pretty extensive like blog on there. So you can just, if you're interested in like finding information on a specific topic, you can just type that into the search bar. And I may have written about it in the past, so there could be some articles that come up there. I have some new like online programs as well. So one area I'm starting to do more work in is vegan pregnancy and like plant-based baby nutrition considerations, and like, you know, what are the milks to wean off of or onto after weaning, if it's even necessary. So There's an online program for that. And then we have events at Quest Nutrition as well. So there is one actually coming up about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So much to offer and so much to learn.
Always constantly learning.
Yeah, right? Always.
Totally. Right? Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And we learned so
much. Thank you so
much. Yeah, so much. We'll have to have you back on, maybe talk about, you know, pregnancy and
totally. I'd love to.
Yeah. Sure, we'll do another episode about that. Right. Maybe.
I'm sure you have so much to talk about, so many topics, you know, we didn't cover yet on our podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, enjoy.
Yeah, we could keep going.
Yeah. It could be a 10-hour long podcast about nutrition, I'm sure.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
For sure.
Well, enjoy your beautiful day. And we see you at the store or wherever it will be.
Yeah. Or at the next event.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
Our pleasure. Okay.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Ciao.